Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for November 30th, my birthday, 2007.
Happy birthday, Bob.
Thanks, Suzanne. This week, the technology of the future. We will look at new technologies to enhance our lives, save us from deadly diseases, and even save us from ourselves. To start, Suzanne, I understand you have a story about babies and robots?
That's right. Robots aren't just for grown-ups anymore. This week, I spoke with a pair of researchers who are bringing the world of robotics and the field of developmental psychology together. They've invented a robot that could change the lives of special needs kids and how others perceive them.
Robots for kids?
Yeah. University of Delaware physical therapist Cole Galloway told me that babies are natural explorers.
Mobility, the ability to crawl and walk, is not just like getting to your job. It's like exploring Mars. And it's very important for brain development. It's very important for overall development.
But for many babies with special needs, exploring their environment on their own just isn't possible.
A kid that's born at risk for cerebral palsy, for example, a kid with Down syndrome that's going to probably walk, but walk a little later, they are at risk for further impairments in the way they think, in the way they react to the world, to their language development, because they have mobility problems.
And he says kids with significant mobility impairments may need power wheelchairs, but...
Power wheelchairs aren't typically offered to children until they're 5, 6, 7 years old. So there's an enormous gap when you have mobility impairments between when your peers are getting around and the special needs infant who's sitting or lying. And it's not just days, it's weeks, months, and years of immobility. So the clinical need is significant.
But Galloway told me he had never seriously considered robots as a tool for bridging that gap. That is, until a University of Delaware colleague, robotics expert Sunil Agrawal, approached him one day in the parking lot.
I've been involved for quite a number of years on mobile robots, and I was trying to find an application for use of this technology. And I thought that this is a great tool that we could use for special need kids.
But Galloway was skeptical at first.
I was focused on very different things and actually didn't consider robotics as being something that young babies could benefit from until he showed me what he was talking about, which was these little red, very small robots following a mother robot around with a joystick. And I had just come off of a project showing that new reachers, 3 to 5 months of age, can do amazing things with joysticks as far as activating distant toys. And it didn't take much to put two and two together to say, wait a minute, if you can hook a chair behind that little robot, I think we've got the first power wheelchair for infants.
Once Galloway was convinced, the two researchers got hard at work designing their first robot for babies. You may be wondering what it looks like.
So the robot is essentially a circular unit about, say, 20 inches in diameter. And behind the robot, there is a car seat or a little baby seat, which is also on wheels. And the two are integrally connected to each other. The baby is sitting on this car seat with a joystick. And with the movements of the joystick, essentially, the robot could be commanded to move forward, turn left, turn right. And while the robot is moving, essentially, the sensors allow the baby to move in a safe way within the environment.
The researchers told me that people tend to underestimate the abilities of young children. But even babies with cognitive impairments like Down syndrome can learn to operate the robots and navigate their world, preparing their developing minds for later life.
Even with impairment, even with a child that has sometimes a significant impairment, one aspect of being a child oftentimes is not impaired. And that's this drive to explore. Our focus is get out and explore in the real world. And that's really what this is about, is providing training and technology so that infants and toddlers with special needs get out onto playgrounds, onto beaches, onto Main Street America, and interact and, frankly, drive their parents crazy. And by the time they go to school, they will have had years of exploring versus years, literally years of sitting in the corner.
How's that for technology that could change our lives?
Fascinating. Thanks, Suzanne. Well, we're used to hearing about technological gadgets that are getting smaller and smaller every day. But our intrepid New York correspondent Justin Warner found some researchers who are taking things to incredible lengths.
This broadcast of Layla by Derek and the Dominoes isn't exactly in high def, but it's still remarkable considering it came from a radio receiver that's 10,000 times smaller than the width of a human hair. The radio was made by physicist Alex Zettel and his colleagues at the University of California at Berkeley and Lawrence Berkeley National Lab.
You have to use very powerful, large atomic resolution transmission electron microscopes to see the radio. It's really about as small as you could make something.
It consists of a tiny vibrating carbon tube that acts as a receiver, tuner, and amplifier all in one. Only the speakers are external. And Zettel says its applications aren't limited to classic rock. For example, it could become a handy component of nanoscale medical devices used inside the body.
And you want to either incorporate this inside a cell, or you want to put it in the bloodstream to do diagnostics or to release medicine at a certain time in a certain kind of environment. Or even integrating this with somebody's brain to help with vision difficulties or hearing difficulties, putting this kind of thing in an inner ear, for example. It's just the right size for interfacing with biological cells.
And because it uses very little power, it could also be useful in sensors that are scattered throughout the environment, keeping tabs on things like air and water quality without requiring constant battery changes.
Thanks, Justin. In weightier technology news, homemade bombs are an increasing concern worldwide, from Baghdad to here at home. But a new chemical spray has been developed that could literally catch terrorists red-handed. It was developed by forensic chemist Joseph Almog at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem in Israel. The non-toxic spray turns blood red when it touches urea nitrate. That's a common ingredient in many homemade bombs, including the one used in the first World Trade Center bombing in 1993.
Under laboratory conditions, we've been able to detect a few micrograms of urea nitrate. This is an amount that you hardly see. That's a few millionths of a gram.
Since urea nitrate looks like sugar or salt to the naked eye, the test could be invaluable to anti-terror agents. Almog has also developed other colorful chemical detectors. One of them turns purple on contact with iron residues, indicating a suspect might recently have held a weapon. Well, that's all for this week. Next week, we'll talk about future survival, from outwitting superbugs to using space technology to grow plants right here on Earth. Until then, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. We've got a new story about science every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website or at iTunes. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.